السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Last week we had discussed regarding the expedition of Fidak, and we have one more expedition left, and thereafter we'll go back to the other kitab and start discussing the sixth year after Hijra. So this expedition is the expedition of Amr bin Umayyah al-Dhamri radiyallahu ta'ala. One day, in front of a huge gathering of the Quraysh, Abu Sufyan bin Harb challenged them, saying, "Is there not anyone from amongst you who dares to assassinate Muhammad?" We would say Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he put out this challenge to them. Now we must remember that Abu Sufyan at this time, he was the leader of the Quraysh. So he is putting out a challenge to his people that isn't there anybody who will go and assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he makes a statement. He says that he is not protected by any bodyguards, and he walks around freely in the marketplace. And this was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that despite his maqam, despite so many people trying to harm him and so many wars and whatever, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would still walk around freely, go to the marketplace, go around doing whatever he wants to do, going wherever he wants to go. Once I was in Medina Munawara, and we had come in for Asr Salah, and I see there's a whole commotion taking place, a whole lot of soldiers, helicopters in the sky, and the original Turkish masjid, now the original, you know, Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that place is cordoned off. It's empty, but it's cordoned off. A whole lot of soldiers standing with big machine guns all along. I think, what is going on here? So I asked one of the cleaners there, "So what's happening?" So he said, "No, the King Abdullah came to make salam. So they close the masjid up. All the soldiers are there with their boots and everything. They are standing in the masjid now in the haram with big machine guns. And this fellow came to this King Abdullah. Now he came to make salam." So I was thinking about it after that. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lived in that, where we go to make salam, that was the houses of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, right? And how many times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked from there, performed salah, he walked back, he went to Baqi, he went to other places. There was no need for any army, helicopters, soldiers, bodyguards, nothing. Everybody just carried on doing their work. Anybody wanted to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they could just walk up to him. And then I said that this rulership, to be a king, president, prime minister or something in today's time, is like imprisonment. I mean, the other people move around more freely than the king. The king is supposed to be having authority, he's supposed to be able to move around, but he can't move around anywhere. He just wants to come make one salam. If you think you got red tape, you only have to apply to Sawuk to get accreditation to go for Hajj. That's all. That's the only red tape we got. Look at the red tape he got. He's in a problem. Just to come make one salam, how much of red tape he has to go through to come make one salam. And a normal Bedouin person came there to Medina Sharif, maybe 5 times a day, 10 times a day he's going and making salam and coming, no problem. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to move around, walk around, no bodyguard, nothing. And look at the kings today, They live more in fear. More in fear they live. If there was equality, if there was justice, if there was no problem, and if they had yaqeen and tawakkul in Allah Pak, don't worry about anything. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was assassinated. But did that make Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala surround himself with bodyguards? No. Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu was assassinated. Did that make Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu walk around with bodyguards? No. So their tawakkul, their yaqeen was on Allah Pak. This is why they were free. They could move around. Shaho ke saro par taj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai aur ahle wafa ke seeno mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to recite this couplet. The kings, in reality, those crowns on their heads gives them more headaches. And those people that are connected with Allah, ahle wafa, those who are loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have a river of noor that is flowing in their hearts. So Abu Sufyan, he is telling the people that this is not even a difficult task, because he moves around freely. Normally now, if you want to assassinate a leader, a ruler, so much of planning has to go into it, because the person is always surrounded by bodyguards, intelligence, this, that. You see that after they shot that Kennedy's brains out, so now the rest of the American presidents, now whenever they go, so there's a whole motorcade, all same kind cars. You mustn't know which car the person is in. And there's so many bodyguards running alongside the cars. And what just for that fellow to go from here to there, so much of this thing has to take place. In case somebody else decides to shoot another president. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to move around freely. So one Bedouin, he stood up and he proclaimed, he said, "I am a professional in these type of things. If you assist me in this venture, then I undertake to fulfill this assignment." So Abu Sufyan provided him with a camel, gave him some money, and gave him also a pledge to offer him unreserved assistance. That whatever you require to carry out this mission, it's at your disposal. You go and carry out this mission. So this Bedouin, dagger in hand, he set out towards Madinatul Munawwara. At that moment, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the masjid of Banu Abdul Ashhal, some locality close by. They had a place where they would read their salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone there and he was in that masjid. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set eyes on this person was approaching Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set eyes on him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "This man comes with an evil intention. He's walking towards me with an evil intention." So immediately, Hazrat Usaid bin Huzair radiallahu ta'ala, he caught hold of this person, he seized him, he grabbed his hand. The dagger that he had concealed within his clothing clattered to the ground. He had a dagger that was tucked in, so that dagger fell down. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "Tell me the truth. What brings you here? Why did you come?" So he replied that if I am promised safety, that nothing would be done to me, then I will disclose my intentions. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that, "Look, you have my protection. Nobody will touch you. Nobody will do anything to you. You tell me why you came." So the Bedouin, he then went on to give a detailed account of what transpired. This is what the announcement Abu Sufyan made. I said I will come, etc. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam released him and pardoned him. He said, are you free? You can go. When this Bedouin witnessed this, he was drawn to deen, he was drawn to embrace Islam. But he remarked, he said something, he said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I am not a person who is scared of people. I'm not a person who gets frightened. Normally I'm very, very courageous, I'm a very bold person. I'm not a person who gets scared. But the moment I laid eyes upon you, I lost all my senses and I became faint-hearted. Furthermore, you ascertained my evil intentions without anyone else knowing about it. Nobody else here knew that what intention I came with. But you just looked at me and you knew that I have come with evil intentions. From this I realized that you are safe and secure and you are certainly on the path of truth, and beyond doubt the group of Abu Sufyan is an assembly of shayateen. They are devils, they are shayateen. You are on haq. On hearing this, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. This Bedouin stayed with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a few days. He then sought permission from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he took his leave, he left. What happened to him thereafter, nobody knows. He left the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he went away. Thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Amr bin Umayyah Dhamri radiyallahu ta'anan and Hazrat Salama bin Aslam Ansari radiyallahu ta'anan to Makkah Mukarramah with instructions to assassinate Abu Sufyan if the opportunity presented itself. Told him that you will go to Makkah Sharif if the opportunity presents itself, assassinate Abu Sufyan. Because he is inciting problem here now. He's trying dirty tactics. One was where he's coming straight forward to come and fight. Now when he can't do that, now he's sending people to come and do assassination attempts. When these two people reached Makkah Mukarramah, they decided to enter the Baytullah and perform tawaf first. So they'll go and make tawaf first. The moment they entered the haram, Abu Sufyan saw them and he shouted out. He said, look, this is Amr bin Umayyah. He has certainly come here to come and do something. Otherwise, why will he come here? So during the pre-Islamic days of ignorance, Amr bin Umayyah radiallahu ta'ala was notoriously known as Shaitan. To call him Shaitan. The people of Makkah Mukarramah, terrified by the potential of Amr bin Umayyah to cause harm to them, amassed a bit of money and they presented it to him. He was a person like how in today's times you get one gangster chap or something. Most of them are just cardboard also. Sometimes you get everybody frights for them. But who frights for them is those who don't have fear of Allah. You see, when a person doesn't have the fear of Allah, then he begins to fear insan and he fears everything else. But when a person has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then other things don't make him afraid. Because he realizes that my Allah is in control. Only what my Allah wants to happen, that is what will happen. Nothing more, nothing less. I can have all the protection and all the asbab and everything, but if Allah Pak wants some harm to come to me, it cannot be averted. And I can have absolutely nothing. And if Allah Pak wants harm to come to me, If Allah Pak wants to save me from harm, no harm can come to me. We were discussing this morning with the girls, Ayat Karima in Suratul Layl, وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. Allah Pak says that the akhirat and this dunya, all is in our control. Everything is in our control. So I was giving this example, came to mind, that look at Fir'aun. He had come with his army, not even alone, not that he was walking alone, and he was like a superpower of his time. Fir'aun, he was like a superpower of his time. So whatever war machinery and whatever could have, you know, whatever any person could have had at that time, he would have had it. And he was in all his glory with his full army, everything. And in that condition, while he was with his whole army, Allah Pak destroyed him. Not that he was just one person walking alone or something. Allah Pak destroyed him when he was in his full glory, with all his army and all his weaponry and everything. Allah Pak destroyed him. And Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, absolutely nothing. Even the clothing from his body was removed, and he is thrown into the well. But Allah Pak protected him. Here you would think that no harm can come to this person. I mean, he is the leader with all his army and all the weapons and everything. Where can harm come to him in this situation? And there you would think that that person, there is no hope left for him. He is thrown into a well, no food, no drink, no weapon, not even clothing also. But there Allah Pak protects, here Allah Pak destroys. This is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, these people, the people of Makkah Mukarramah, now afraid, they don't know what Amr bin Umayyah, what he can do here. So they collected some money and they thought they'd make him happy and tell him, you know what? You know, like in the old days, these fellows used to go around collecting taxes. You know, one mafia chap in one town, something, all the shopkeepers must pay him protection fees. And nowadays it don't happen all this too much in our towns, but before it used to be like that. All the places, they had one fellow was a big shot there, everybody used to fight for him, all the shopkeepers, everybody must pay him protection fees, otherwise they're in a problem. So these people got together, they put some money together and they gave to this Amr bin Umayyah and said, you know what, you'd rather go away nicely, there's some gift for you, you carry on. Hazrat Amr radiallahu ta'ala said to his companion, Nabi said two of them, so he said to his friend, he said, presently the assassination of Abu Sufyan seems unlikely. You won't be able to do anything. They have spotted us, they know that we hear too much of a charcha. We won't be able to do anything now. It is better if we rather leave this place quietly. We've attracted too much of attention to ourselves. We rather go away quietly. On their return, they killed Abdullah bin Malik Taymi. Further on, they came across a one-eyed man of the Banu Dail tribe who was lying down reciting the following couplet. He says, وَلَسْتُ بِمُسْلِمٍ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا وَلَسْتُ أَدِينُ دَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ دِينَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He's reciting this couplet. What he's saying, he says, for as long as I live, I will never embrace Islam. I will never take up the religion of the Muslims. For as long as I live, I will never take up the religion of the Muslims. Amr bin Umayyah gave this man one shot. He died. The fellow died. So he didn't have to wait long. He said he will not accept Islam for as long as he lives. So he didn't have to wait long. He got dispatched. So as they were returning, they came across two Qurayshi spies whom the Quraysh enlisted to spy on the conditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quraysh had sent two spies to Madina Munawara to go and spy on the Muslims. So they intercepted these two spies also on the way. One of them they killed, and the other one was brought before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Amr radiallahu ta'ala and relates that I gave a detailed account of our expedition to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I explained to him exactly what happened. We went to Makkah Mukarrama. This is what happened. But on the return, we met these other enemies on the way. So that Abdullah bin Malik Taymi, we managed to finish him off. But other chap was sitting there and he was reading that couplets. I gave him one shot. He got dispatched. And then we intercepted these two spies. One of them we killed and one we have brought to you. So when he told, when he mentioned all of this to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak face lit up with a smile. He smiled at him. That you have done good. He was happy with these actions. According to another narration, with regards to that man who was lying down reciting that couplet, Hazrat Amr radiallahu ta'ala first asked him who he was. So he replied, I am from the Banu Bakr tribe. To this Hazrat Amr radiallahu ta'ala replied, Marhaba, he told him welcome. The man then went back and lied down, but started chanting the same couplet again. Hazrat Amr radiallahu ta'ala first thrust an arrow at him and then finished him off with his sword. So this was the expedition of Hazrat Amr bin Umayyah Damiri radiallahu ta'ala, and this is the last of the incidents that we will discuss with regards to the fifth year after Hijrah. And now inshallah, next week if Allah gives us tawfiq and hayati, then we will move on to the sixth year after Hijrah. And in the sixth year after Hijrah, here is a very, very important incident in Islamic history that had taken place, which is known as the Sulah Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had this dream that he was performing Umrah, and then he wanted to go to Makkah Mukarramah to go and perform Umrah, and the Kuffar didn't allow them entry and all the other events that unfolded. But this Sulah Hudaybiyah was actually the turning point now. This was now the turning point where Allah Pak, after this incident of Sulah Hudaybiyah, Allah Pak then opened the doors now. Then people started accepting Islam in large numbers. And this then led to the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, Fateh Makkah, which took place 2 years later. So this is a very important incident that had taken place. And after this you find that the tables were now turned and people started entering the fold of Islam in large numbers. Allah give us tawfiq to understand, tawfiq to make amal. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.